a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Thank you. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. That brings us to Consumer Reports. Ms. Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. The Commission received a total of 65 contacts since the last report was prepared for the December 3rd, 2013 Commission meeting. 14 of the contacts involved telecommunications service, 14 of the contacts involved electric service, 3 contacts involved natural gas service, 10 contacts involved cell phone service, 10 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, 2 contacts regarding wind energy, and 12 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 1,773 of the 1,803 complaints received in 2013 have been resolved.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Ms. Gregg? We will move then to docket EL08-031 in the matter of the application by Buffalo Ridge 2, LLC, a subsidiary of Iberdrola Renewables Incorporated, for an energy conversion facility permit for the construction of the Buffalo Ridge 2 wind farm and associated collection substation and electric interconnection system. Question before the Commission is, today shall the Commission grant the request for release of construction bond and authorize the Executive Director of General Counsel to execute any necessary release documents to release Safeco Insurance Company of America bond number 6659429. Mr. Kenneke.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners and Staff. Brett Kenneke for Iberdrola Renewables. The Buffalo Ridge 2 project was constructed and completed. We believe and would certify to you that we have no outstanding obligations to repair road damage or any other damage to public infrastructure and would ask that you release the bond this morning.
Thank you very much. Mr. Seck, do you have anything to add?
No, I don't.
Thank you. Staff?
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff, and staff would recommend the Commission grant the bond release and authorize its personnel to execute the necessary release documents. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions by Commission? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I will move in EL08-031 that the Commission grant the request for release of construction bond and authorize our Executive Director or General Counsel to execute any necessary release documents to release Safeco Insurance Company of America bond number 6659429.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen. Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Brings us to telecommunications docket TC13-116 in the matter of the filing by MCC Telephony of the Midwest LLC for approval of revisions to tariff number 1. Today, the question before the Commission is, shall the Commission approve the revisions to the access services tariff? Mr. Kenneke.
Good morning again, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and staff. Brett Kenneke from PEER, appearing for MCC Telephony in this matter. I'm a bit of a latecomer to this docket, Mr. Chairman, but as I understand it, MCC views that it's required to conform its intrastate and interstate switch access tariffs in concert with each other in order to achieve goals that the FCC has set in this area. And so we believe, despite there being a bit of a lack of clarity as to what's required here and what's necessary, shocking, I know, that would be the case in telecommunications law or FCC, but we think this is what we're supposed to do in order to move forward through the step down, is to conform those two rates together. And so we would ask for Commission approval of the tariffs revisions this morning.
Thank you. Mr. Paulson, are you up or is it Ms. Edwards?
Me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. MCC Telephony of the Midwest is proposing to revise certain switched access rates to remain at parity with their interstate rates, and they're also updating the company's issuing officer and address at the bottom of the tariff pages, and staff recommends approval with an effective date of November 9th, 2013.
Thank you. Are there, Ms. Wiest, I believe you have a question.
I'm looking through the docket. It was my understanding in doing some research that NCC has made other filings in other states reflecting their changes to their FCC interstate tariff and then made subsequent filings in other states similar to this one reflecting changes in their intrastate tariff. And so my question is whether, Mr. Kenneke, if you know the status of any of those other filings and whether those have been approved or if any objections have been made to any parties in those other states.
Thank you for the question. If you'd give me just a minute. I don't recall hearing that either Ann from MediaCom or Winifred from Kelly Dry was on the phone. The last I'd spoken with them, they intended to be. But if you'll give me just a minute to read through her
files. I'm assuming she'd speak up if she was. We don't have anyone else other than I failed to ask if anyone else was on the phone. But if anyone else is on the telephone whose name I did not call, please speak up now so we can have you on the record. Mr. Kenneke?
I am not aware of filings made in other states or their status, Ms. Wiest.
And staff doesn't know.
There was filings that I looked at in Minnesota and Iowa.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, I believe they were both approved. And the revisions were similar.
Right. I could find the filings. I just couldn't find the approvals, I guess, was my... But you said they were approved.
I had talked to guys in Minnesota, and uh-huh. I believe they said it was approved.
Oh, okay.
And if I remember correctly, in the Iowa docket, that they had their... Commission had approved that one as well.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions from the commissioners? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in TC 13-116, move that the commission approve the revisions to the excess service tariff.
Discussion by the commissioners? Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. That brings us to Pipeline Safety, docket PS 13-001, in the matter of the filing by Commission Pipeline Safety staff for approval of a penalty for a pipeline safety violation by Humboldt Municipal Gas Utilities. Question before the Commission is, today shall the Commission grant the request for dismissal without prejudice, or how shall the Commission proceed? Ms. Andrew?
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. Just to give you a little bit of background on this docket, as well as the ones for Crooks and Gerritsen, there were a number of violations that were found at each of these three municipalities. And in effort to try to identify ways that they could dedicate resources more effectively, Nathan was with us at the time and had suggested that they hire an individual to share between the three municipalities to assist with their pipeline records and maintenance. As a result, they were not able to come to an agreement to hire an individual, and each of the municipalities did a separate stipulation, I guess would be the word, to remedy the situation that we felt that resources were lower than what might be needed for the amount of work that is required for pipeline safety. So each of the utilities provided their own resolution as to how they felt they would best meet the needs of the pipeline safety regulations and accomplishing the tasks necessary.
Thank you. Ms. Meyer Henry.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Good morning, and we appreciate Ms. comments. And what we found is that after reviewing the log information, it was determined that the adjustments have been made to the utility manager of Humboldt and the finance officer, Ellis. And so we agreed to stipulate to the utility manager dedicating 15 hours per week to natural gas work, and the finance officer will dedicate a minimum of 20 hours per week. And so we've come to the stipulation and request for dismissal, and would that the commission grant the request for dismissal without prejudice of this docket today.
Thank you. Any questions from commissioners? I see questions from all three of us. Commissioner Nelson.
Thank you. For Ms. Meyer-Henry, maybe a comment and a question. You know, obviously for us, seeing these safety violations was troubling. But by the same token, the fact that you and our staff have been able to come together and come to an agreement without us having to actually go through the fine process, I think that's very positive. I guess my question for you, can you give this commission some assurance that these types of violations will not occur in the future?
Yes, Commissioner. Thank you very much for the question, because we do want to express the appreciation with the commission and with Ms. Zanter and Ms. Edwards and staff to be able to work through these issues and come to this agreement, and also give our assurances that the town of Humboldt will be very diligent in its on the qualification issues and in compliance issues, and in making sure ultimately that the pipeline safety is a strong priority. And so it's very important for the town of Humboldt, and through this process, definitely the finance officer and the utility manager understand and agree that compliance is a strong priority, and to make sure to be diligent every week, every day of every week, to assure that that everything is safe and that we're in compliance. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Commissioner Feagin.
First of all, I want to thank the staff for working with the three municipalities. It's hard when Northwestern comes to you in the summer of 2012 and decides that they're not going to do the program, the pipeline safety in your communities, and you kind of have to revamp. You know, my concern is a lot like Commissioner Hansen and I'm sure Commissioner Nelson. I'm not for sure if the communities took it seriously those 6 months when they had time to look at what they needed to do and be compliant. When you look at statistics in 2012, there were about 571, according to stats, incidences in the country on pipeline safety. Well, there were 12 fatalities, and out of those 12 fatalities, 9 were from distribution. Transmission. So distribution is very serious, and I think the commissioners take this very seriously, and you have over 500 people in your community, and we want to make sure they're safe. My big concern is not how many hours you work. I'm not concerned about penalties. I'm concerned about your citizens and the people that visit there and drive through. So I'm concerned that, first of all, there's a qualified operator, and I don't see that in the agreement here that it has to necessarily be a qualified operator. It just says an employee or a contract. And I assume that we would assume it's a qualified operator because of PHMSA rules, but a lot of the rules, actually, the people didn't have all the training until it looks like May of 2013. So that concerns me a little bit, and I wonder if we can amend the stipulation, or that's an assumption. Also, I'm just like Commissioner Nelson. My concern is not to have continuing violations. I don't care about how many hours you work. I want to make sure that you're doing a great job and making sure that it's safe. And the other question I have, I don't know who can answer this, but are these the people that also shut off if there is a excavation?
Yes, this is Mary Zanter with staff. And the utility manager that they have mentioned is a person who is operator qualified, and they are qualified for doing a shutdown in case of an emergency.
Okay, so my question is, in a small town of Humboldt, I mean, people excavate and things just happen. Unfortunately, we live in a world of accidents and human error. So there, how do we know that they're going to have 24/7 hour coverage on incidents that happen? Because people move. I mean, they don't move, but I mean, they travel. So are we going to make sure that that employee or is qualified to handle an incident and there's a backup person that is qualified and trained always and within a 10 minutes? Or how do we look at that as pipeline safety rules?
This is Mary Zanter with staff, and I understand your concern, and that was one of my concerns also going into this, having a full-time person split between those communities alleviates some of the problems of people being on vacation or sick or whatever the situation may be during an incident, during a gas leak, some sort of situation where immediate action needs to be taken on the pipeline facilities.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Excuse me. Go ahead.
I guess for complete confirmation on how that coverage would be handled, I'm going to defer that because I'm not sure that I completely know.
Thank you. Ms. Meyer-Henry, would you like to piggyback on that?
Yes, thank you. And I would like to mention that I have Finance Officer Christy Ellis also present. In general, I'll comment that the program makes sure that 24/7 there are operator-qualified individuals ready and present. The standard is to respond within 30 minutes to any emergency and that there is backup also for that. And so we agree that, you know, safety is number one priority. And they are fully qualified to handle an incident, and as a matter of fact, for the first time a few weeks ago, a shutoff was required, and Christy Ellis was able to handle that, handled it appropriately and timely, and took care of it. For further details about the program, I could let Christy Ellis comment about how it works if there are any other further details.
Thank you. Commissioner Feagin, you still have the floor.
So what I'm hearing is, Christy, you're also a qualified operator that can work on emergency shutoff valves, and you always have somebody that can respond within 30 minutes of a call.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Christy. Appreciate that. Well, my main concern is making sure we have a qualified operator, which I already stated, making sure that we don't have violations, and that making sure that, and we don't have that here in this stipulation where we have it in some others, that we have backup in emergency 24/7 in connection with all the other stipulations you have.
There are three altogether. This is Sabrina Meyer-Henry again. Three altogether, they do back each other up. And I just want to comment that, of course, that's part of the compliance, and that Ms. Zander could comment on, is that those are some of the requirements for safety, that everything is covered and that they're able to respond within 30 minutes and so on. So that is a regulation requirement.
Great. Thank you. And the finance manager, I guess I'm just not worried that they work 20 hours. Why did you decide to put that in your stipulation? Why is that so important that they work 20 hours a week?
We believe that a fundamental problem in the past was the number of duties that Finance Officer Ellis was performing. They had a municipal bar. She was overseeing the summer recreation program. And so she was having trouble performing all of her duties. So as a part of the issues that came up here, we wanted to make it clear that was part of the process here, that this is realistic, that so these number of hours show the amount of dedication, we have also explained to the staff how it is different now. After we've worked this through so that they understand that the town of Humboldt is making sure that there's compliance and that this, again, that safety is a priority. And so that the duties have changed in order to allow sufficient time.
Thank you, Christy, and I really appreciate your hard work. I know you've been working hard, and I've seen you at safety meetings and et cetera. I just want to have the record reflect that as a commissioner, I don't want to micromanage your city council. And so you may need this so your city council sees the importance of pipeline regulation, but I want to make sure that as a commissioner, I'm not micromanaging the 20 hours for a finance manager. I just want to make sure everything's followed, the safety regulations are followed.
Thank you.
Well, excellent discussion, and appreciate it very much. One of the benefits of going third is that my fellow commissioners covered the concerns that I had, and I appreciate that very much from both of you. Excellent questions, and thank you, Ms. Meyer-Henry, for your discussion and answers. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, is there a motion?
I will move in PS 13-001 that the commission grant the request for dismissal without prejudice and approve the stipulation.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion?
I do have just one discussion item, and Commissioner Feagin strongly hinted at this. I'm not entirely comfortable with the number of hours that are specified here. I do see that as micromanaging from the state level, and I'm not comfortable with that. But given the history that we've got here and the fact we had some violations, it seemed to take a while for the city to recognize that they had to deal with that, and the fact that this stipulation has been put together to avoid the fines. I think it is appropriate that we approve this in whole at this point. But I would just, I guess I would say to both sides and maybe primarily to the city that if at some point you've completely got your act together and your compliance is complete, and you're finding that these hour stipulations are burdensome and are really not necessary, I would be willing to revisit that issue. But until that time, I think this is an appropriate stipulation. Thank you.
Ms. Feagin, did you have anything? No? I appreciate those remarks. And I think and obviously all three of us from the discussion were taken back just a little bit by the number of hours that were stipulated. However, in the discussion, I perhaps looked in a little too deeply, maybe not, into the answers that Ms. Meyer-Henry provided to us. I somewhat interpreted it as being potentially a situation where a message was perhaps being sent to the commissioners, not us, but the other commissioner counselors, that this is a real important job and let's not overburden this employee with all of these other tasks. The commission has set forth that it's so important that the staff person who is responsible for this needs to be dedicating. Maybe she works 60 hours a week, I'm not sure, but at least 20 hours of that time needs to be dedicated towards this. And, sometimes we all see situations where elected officials don't quite see the challenge and want to stretch the budget a little further and place a little too much work on the shoulders. And that's the interpretation I was getting, that we need to send a message, but she obviously couldn't say that. And maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe I'm out in left field. But it just seemed to be that there's an important message that has to be sent to the employer here and let them know that there's, even when you forget minor things when it comes to public safety, those minor things can turn into tragic events, as Commissioner Feagin was pointing out. Across the United States, there's been significant challenges here, and I think all of us are regulators that don't particularly care for regulations, but at the same time, as was pointed out by each of you in your discussions, this is really, really a very important situation when it comes to public safety, especially with natural gas. And I would like to thank staff and Ms. Meyer-Henry and the rest of the people who worked on this to come up to the conclusion that they did and the recommendation that they did. Commissioner Fegan, did you have something?
I just have one quick question of Ms. Zanter. On the ability that the staff reserves the right to refile the complaint, is that only dealing with the hours, like if they don't work 15 hours or if they don't work 20 hours, or does that really deal with the violation to make sure that pipeline safety regulations are followed? Not necessarily the hours, but you know what? You're doing the job to protect our citizens.
Yes, that would be correct. The idea is not so much that we are concerned about a number of hours, but I guess the dedication of the municipality's staff to ensure that pipeline safety is a top priority and that they have the ability to dedicate enough time to it to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished. Hours-wise, you know, I don't care how many hours that takes. What's important to me is the regulations.
So when I vote on this today, let the record reflect that we can reopen this or staff can reopen this if continuing violations on pipeline safety occur.
Correct. That is what is intended. Yes.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Brings us to docket PS13-002 in the matter of the filing by Commission Pipeline Safety Staff for approval of a penalty for a pipeline safety violation by Crooks Municipal Gas. The question before the Commission is, shall the Commission grant the request for dismissal without prejudice, or how shall the Commission proceed? Ms. Zanter.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. I believe that the comments that I made in regard to the Humboldt stipulation is also true for Crooks. They approached it slightly differently based on how they approached remedying the situation, but the content is essentially the same.
Thank you. Is there anyone representing Crooks Municipal Gas at this time? Then we will proceed to questions by the commissioners. Questions?
Whenever you...
Go ahead.
Commissioner Nelson.
Well, two things. I guess first, a comment. I'm troubled that Crooks isn't appearing here today to answer our questions. Do we know why they're not appearing?
I did talk to Rick Ramstad, their attorney, yesterday, and he has been very, very involved. And, in fact, theirs was the first one resolved. So working with him did go well in the end, and he has been quite dedicated on this. But he is outside counsel and was unable to be on the phone today.
I guess the second question, the other two agreements contain the specified number of hours, and obviously this one doesn't, and so I'm curious what the thought process was in that.
The way that Crooks approached this stipulation, the person that they have as a primary distribution system employee used to have their duties divided in multiple different directions. That person has been dedicated full-time to the pipeline safety program, with the exception that they are doing a few duties related to sewer and water, such as locating, which is probably right in connection with natural gas also. So their approach was not identifying hours so much as saying they have a dedicated person. It was just their approach to it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm not even comfortable voting on this docket today without actually having representatives from Crooks. I mean, pipeline safety is a serious issue, and we want to make sure. I mean, they're a growing community. Mr. Smith reminded me that they're bigger in Humboldt now, and they're, I mean, bigger in my hometown. There are 1,300 people that live in Crooks now. So that's a lot of people. There are a couple things that I would like to talk to their council about. One thing is we don't have the opportunity to reopen this docket. And if they're in continued violation, we don't have a stipulation here that I see. Maybe it's here. It is in here. Christine Edwards?
Thank you, Commissioner Fegan. The docket would be, or what we stipulated to, was a dismissal without prejudice. So if at some time we felt that they were, or Mary went down, that Ms. Zanter went down there to do an inspection, and what they were doing hadn't been sufficient, and there were still violations, then we would have, if the commission did vote to dismiss it without prejudice, we could bring it back.
Okay. Thank you for that legal opinion.
And maybe I'll jump in. That's what without prejudice means, is that we're free to refile the complaint. If we were dismissing as a substantive finding, that's different. Then we're done. And
then why are the other two different, written differently?
I don't know. I'm going to guess it was just the way their individual attorneys chose to.
The reason they were written differently, this is Mary Zanter with staff, may have been my input, because I was not aware of the legal wording around without prejudice. And I wanted to make sure that we, if we weren't comfortable with the number of hours, that we could have some sort of recourse with it. Like I said, I think that may have been added because I asked for it to be added, not realizing what without prejudice meant.
And also, there are just questions about the contractor, if they'd hire a contractor versus a full-time employee, making sure somebody's available. It says that somebody would be available, but is that 24/7? I'm sure it is because of safety regulations, but it really makes me uncomfortable that they're not represented here today.
Is it your desire to ask those questions of Ms. Zanter, or is it your desire that we defer this?
I'll do what the majority of the commissioners would like to do, but I would rather defer this, not bring Ms. Zanter back to Pier, but be online to our next commission meeting and have Crooks on at our next commission meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I would concur with that. I am troubled that the city didn't bother to appear here today to answer questions, and I believe it would be appropriate to defer until they're willing to do that.
That's always been my standard operating procedure. If one commissioner wishes to have a deferral, then it is deferred. So we will defer PS 13-002 to the next commission meeting. That brings us to PS 13-003 in the matter of the filing by Commission Pipeline Safety Staff for approval of a penalty for a pipeline safety violation by Gerritsen Municipal Gas Utilities. Question before the Commission is, today shall the Commission grant the request for dismissal without prejudice, or how shall the Commission proceed? Ms. Zanter.
Thank you, Commissioner Hansen. I have, no further information. Basically, we're kind of talking about the same sort of situation as we had with Crooks and Humboldt, and looking for additional dedication to pipeline safety.
Thank you. And Ms. Moore.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners and staff. This is Meredith Moore appearing on behalf of the City of Gerritsen this morning. I've had the privilege of being the city attorney for Gerritsen for a number of years, and have also had the privilege of working with their staff. They have a very dedicated utilities manager in Gerritsen, as well as a very dedicated city finance officer. And I will represent to the commission and the staff that the individuals with whom I have worked have taken this matter very seriously and share your opinions that safety is a priority and is of paramount concern as it relates to the operation of their pipeline. The complaint and the amended complaint that were filed in this matter did allege a number of violations, the failure to complete an annual report, the failure to update line markers with current contact numbers, and a failure to comply with operator qualification certification and to update operations and maintenance manuals. I want to represent to the Commission all of those alleged violations and deficiencies have been cured and taken care of. There has been a very concerted effort to ensure that everyone is properly trained, qualified, and will maintain those standards going forward in a very timely manner. The stipulation that we proposed, or I should say that staff put together based upon a proposal that I presented to staff, wasn't necessarily intended to focus upon the number of hours that would be committed to pipeline operations, maintenance, and safety. It was more intended to give the existing utilities to superintendent, as well as the second operator that is employed by the city of Gerritsen, the flexibility to devote time on a daily basis to certain tasks related to the pipeline. The existing utilities manager obviously provides services that relates to all of the city provided utilities. This enables them to devote specific time to specific tasks on any given day of the week. I would say that our proposal was intended to present a floor and not necessarily a ceiling as far as the time and the commitment that needs to be made to the pipeline and its safety. And so in that regard, we have individuals who are appropriately trained. They are on call on a 24-hour basis. There is an established helpline for purposes of citizenry who may have concerns about pipeline safety. And this really gives our folks in Gerritsen the opportunity to look at all of these things on a daily basis, to devote the necessary time, and to continue to work. These three cities have also always worked together. They share this pipeline to a certain extent, and they have always been very good in reaching out to one another as it relates to issues, cooperating with one another, and also sharing an outside contractor when appropriate to address other issues. And so in that regard, we would respectfully request that the commission approve this particular stipulation, and I represent to the commission that I know the folks in Gerritsen are taking this very seriously and obviously want to ensure that they do not appear in front of the commission again on anything of this type of nature. And I would certainly be more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Any questions by the commissioners? Commissioner Feagin.
First of all, thank you for bringing this to us. It looks very similar, a lot like a previous one, but this one is even more detailed. It really looks like a management letter to your staff to me. And so, you know, sometimes maybe you need the commission to remind your staff that they need to really concentrate on pipeline safety on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis. Although as commissioners, I know I'm just about speaking, I think on behalf of all three, we don't want to micromanage your staff. We want to make sure that pipeline safety is important. It's your top priority in utilities to keep your citizens safe. So eventually, just like Commissioner Hanson and Nelson have said, we might need to bring this back and kind of get rid of all the detail eventually and allow you guys to manage your own staff and not necessarily having the commission have it in order. The other question I have is the backup. It looks like Operator 1 and Operator 2 on call on a 24-hour basis. If they're gone, I'm assuming you have a backup, some type of procedure that somebody's always in the Gerritsen area to respond?
That is correct. Either Operator 1 or Operator 2 are always available for purposes of responding to any inquiries or calls. I know as a general matter, they have coordinated schedules in such a way that neither of them are ever gone at the same time to the extent that they are. I know we have the helpline as well as other individuals available.
Okay, thank you. And then I assume if one operator, there's turnover in life, if there is an operator that the job is vacated, do you have your consultant or do you have a contractor that helps with pipeline safety then?
There is an outside contractor, which Gerritsen uses as it relates to these matters. And to a certain extent, Commissioner Feagin, my next comment touches upon your initial observation with regard to the potential for micromanagement. When the City of Gerritsen put together this proposal, they were actually looking at restructuring the responsibilities of their utility manager, to begin with. And so in that regard, this is actually something that's written into the job description. And in that regard, if there were to be a position that would need to be filled, they would obviously be looking for someone to do that same thing, and then either the second operator would need to step up or they would have to take appropriate steps to identify another individual to fill that need there. But this would be an expectation of anyone who fills this position, and that was the intention behind restructuring that position in the first place, was to make sure it would always be considered a priority going forward, just because there are unique safety issues associated with the pipeline that aren't necessarily present with some of the other municipal managed utilities.
Thank you. I really appreciate your hard work in dedicating to the citizens of Gerritsen safety in your pipeline safety program.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? Mr. Smith.
I noticed there you have a, in addition to the two people, you have a contractor. Will he also be a qualified individual who can also assist in guaranteeing that there's an adequate response capability?
Yes, Mr. Smith, that is correct. And this is a contractor which the city of Gerritsen has used for several years now. And I apologize, for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of this outside organization at the moment. But I know that all of the individuals there are qualified. They have been assisting the city for quite some time and are very familiar. And it's intended that that relationship will continue in the future.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in PS 13-003, move that the Commission grant the request for dismissal without prejudice and approve the stipulation as written.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Commissioner Nelson.
I just want to say to Ms. Moore, I appreciate the assurances that you've given us here today. It's apparent to me that you have been actively involved in this and a representative to us that the city takes this seriously. I appreciate that and look forward to this being your last appearance here before the commission on natural gas issues.
Do you know something I don't? Any further discussion on the motion? If not, Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Mr. Ramstead was listening to the discussion on the previous docket, PS 13-002, matter of filing with Crooks Municipal Gas, and I believe he's either attempting or he is on the phone with us at this time.
Attempting.
He's still working on it. I will make announcements then while we are waiting to see if he's able to join us. Apparently he listened to the entire process and jumped on or attempted to. Did he contact you by phone? Or?
I emailed him to see if he was. Oh. He asked for the number and said he'd call in. So.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. Under announcements then, the PUC offices will be closed December 24 through 25 in observance of the Christmas holiday. The PUC offices will be closed Wednesday, January 1, in observance of the New Year's Day holiday. Commission meetings are scheduled for January 7 and 27. Commissioners will attend the Mid-American Regulatory Commissioners Conference, January 9 through 11. Commissioners and staff will attend the South Dakota Ag Expo, January 15 through 16. The PUC offices will be closed Monday, January 20, in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Commissioners and staff, I hesitate when I say holiday. Is it a recognition day? And commissioners and staff will meet with representatives of Northwestern Energy on Wednesday, January 22nd at 9:30 a.m. in the Floyd Matthew Training Center of the Foss Building in Pier. The agenda is to discuss the company's finance department overview, wholesale operations, South Dakota operations, and customer care. I won't ask for reconsideration just yet. He is on? All right. Then I will move that the commission reconsider the action of deferral on PS 13-002 that it took earlier. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, PS 13-002 is up for reconsideration, for consideration rather, at this time. Mr. Ramstead, I understand that you've been able to join us and will participate in some Q&A time.
I am on the line, Commissioner, and so going to participate in Q&A time.
Okay. Having a little bit of a tough time hearing you. Are you on a cell phone or?
I am on a cell phone, but I took my speaker off. I was just listening to the back.
That is much better. Thank you very much. Were you able to listen to the discussion that we had previously?
No, I was not.
Oh, you did not. Okay, I understood you had. Sorry. Then we will re-ask the questions, and we'll start with Commissioner Fegan, since I've started with Commissioner Nelson all the time.
First of all, thank you so much for calling in. I'm sure that most of us want to get these dockets done so we make sure that pipeline safety is a top priority of all our communities. Pipeline safety is absolutely a top priority of the commission. As you know, there were several fatalities across the nation on pipeline safety in 2012, actually 12 in 2012, and nine of those were on distribution lines. And so distribution lines on any line we take very seriously, but we really take distribution lines when you have you have a growing population in Crooks. I think you have around 1,300 now living there compared to probably a couple hundred 20 years ago. The questions we have, one of them is making sure that your full-time and contract person is qualified. I'm assuming that's part of the regulation with PHMSA. But as you know, from January to May, you had an unqualified operator, I believe, until May 23rd, if I remember right. So we just want to make sure when we put it in a stipulation of a full-time employee and contractor that they're qualified. Also, we have that you will have a trained emergency contact person available in case the full-time person is gone. We're assuming that you have 24/7 coverage so that anybody can turn off a valve if there is a excavator that has hit one of your pipelines. So we just really want some assurance, and I think all of you guys have done a great job. I guess our concern's not about fines. As a commission, our concern is making sure we have a quality pipeline safety program and that we can assure that the citizens that live in Crooks and the people that visit there are safe. So those are the questions I have right now, and just want to make sure you know how seriously we take pipeline safety.
So I guess in response to that, I don't want to say that we didn't have a qualified pipeline operator for a period of time. Virginia Beck has been the person who's operated our system almost from its inception. And we've had contractors that take care of the major repairs on the line and perform certain inspections and things like that. So without her sitting here to explain that to me, I'm at a little bit of loss of how to explain it. But we've had the continuity of that individual for sure since the beginning. We did have, you know, a number of discrepancies that were written up that we took issue with some of them. They're kind of a highly technical nature, and if you have specific questions on them, I could attempt to get into them. But the bottom line is we have in reaching this agreement with the PUC staff attorney, the city has designated a full-time individual to this position, as well as designating someone who's there 20 or at least have available 24/7, which amounts to in the event that Ms. Beck is either on vacation or otherwise disposed, there's another number. So we've got that taken care of, and one of the situations that we have here, which I think is fortunate, is that Virginia Beck also covers our sewer and water. So she is physically around the entirety of the system for a number of different reasons, and probably has more personal contact with the whole of the gas system on a continuous basis because of her water sewer duties than any other place that doesn't operate that way. So we believe that the citizens of Crooks are well taken care of with respect to that type of monitoring on the line.
Thank you. I certainly appreciate your response, and my statement probably was wrong. I should have probably been more detailed in my question, and it could still be wrong. You might have had a qualified operator, but it doesn't look like, according to the information we have, they were certified and operating and identified valves, and that training wasn't completed until 5/23. Was that information incorrect?
I think that is... We were written up on that particular issue because we did not have at our fingertips the documentation that shows that the operator had been trained to turn on and off a particular valve. We were able to get that information, and I think part of the delay in that was we had switched contractors during a period of time, but I don't want to say immediately, but within short order after that discrepancy was noted, we produced the documentation that identified that our operator had, in fact, had that training. We just couldn't demonstrate it at the time the inspector had boots on the ground at that city.
Sure, thank you. It looks like the paperwork, as of course, you know, you guys took over January 1st, and it appears to me in our documentation that the training wasn't done until May. So you had somebody working on valves that wasn't certified in that area until May, it appears to me. Are we wrong in that, Ms. Center?
I guess that's not the way that I understood the discrepancy or the issue. It was my understanding that Virginia Beck had been certified on that previously and that we didn't have the paperwork but sent it in. Without her here, it's very difficult for me to pin down the exact, and I don't want to misrepresent something.
Ms. Zenter, could you answer the question? Thank you.
Sure. This is Mary Zenter with staff. What had happened in this situation is when I was doing the inspection, the records were not available. Ms. Beck actually was pretty certain that she had done the training, but the paperwork wasn't available. She ended up finding that paperwork in some archived records, but at the time that the report was sent out, it was not available. So it was later rectified, but initial investigations showed a lapse in qualification.
So she was qualified the whole time. It was the records issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Nelson.
Mr. Amstead, were you able to review the stipulations that were done for the City of Humboldt and City of Gerritsen in this similar matter?
I have not reviewed those stipulations.
For your information, both of those stipulations require the city to have their employee commit X number of hours per week or even per day to natural gas management issues. Obviously, the stipulation that you've brought to us doesn't have that type of requirement in it. And I'm okay with that, but I guess what I need to know from you is some assurance that even though we're not requiring X number of hours be committed to natural gas, that the personnel that you're employing will make sure that we don't have these similar violations in the future.
Well, and I think I can say with fair confidence that, you know, we won't have these types of violations in the future. I wouldn't go so far as to say, for example, one of our violations was a series of signs posted along the line which identify that there's a line there and give the emergency response number. Those particular signs are subject to they're hit by snowmobiles, they're pressure-sensitive adhesives that when it gets really cold, they fall off. I don't think anybody can ever have 100% compliance. We just happened to be in a situation where we were changing that number in the middle of the winter season. We had made the right appropriate contact so that even if an old sign were up there, that number would be referred to the appropriate number. You know, can I stand here today and say there hasn't been one that's fallen off because the sticky stuff got cold? I can't. But some of the nature of these issues were one-time occurrences that happened within a transition and have been taken care of, and there's no reason to believe they would keep coming up. Some of the others, you know, we simply just don't agree with that they were even legitimate issues that merited write-ups. So, and I can address any one of those if you'd like me to.
No, I don't think we need to go into the details of those. But let me go back to the sign issue, and I certainly agree with your pragmatic answer of that. Obviously, sometimes signs are going to be damaged. The more important question is, do you have a policy or procedure in place for periodic inspection of those and repair?
Right, and that would be a question best addressed again to our operator. But I have full confidence. She's quite aware of the issue. She made all of the all of the repairs, and your inspector could tell you, you know, when those were validated as completed through photographs. You know, it's an issue that we're very sensitive to now, and I don't expect that we'll run into those kinds of problems again.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any further questions? Is there a motion?
I'll move in PS 13-002 that the commission grant the request for dismissal without prejudice and approve the stipulation.
Thank you. Discussion on that motion?
The only thing I want to reemphasize is thank you, first of all, for all the communities working with our staff and making sure pipeline safety is a top priority. We appreciate all of you. We don't want to micromanage your business. We want to just make sure you have safety as a top priority, and we appreciate your hard work.
Thank you. And I'd like to say thank you to Ms. Edwards, for getting in contact right away and saving us all the hassle. And there's a lot of extra work that has to go through the process when we move a docket, and so thank you very much for doing that. Both the commissioners asked excellent questions. We had real good dialogue. I don't know that we've ever had three pipeline safety issues before us at the very same time, and staff did an excellent job of working with the communities to make certain that they're working to fulfill their responsibilities, and ultimately that's what we want. We want compliance as opposed to fines, and I think that we're far more satisfied with what took place here than leveling fines. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hanson votes aye. The motion carries.
I just have to say, Mr. Chairman, the only thing that disappoints me is that Boyce didn't get to testify.
Well, we still could. We have not adjourned yet. Next time we'll have him swear under oath and see what good questions we can ask. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hanson votes aye. The motion carries. We stand adjourned.